D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingen, Connor Newt, yeah. David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will be here momentarily. Fresh off the plane from Salt Lake City, Utah. Willie booking it from the airport with the Predators here to 5 Iron Golf, 202 21st Avenue South here in Nashville, Midtown, to be precise. It's a beautiful day. We've got the garage doors open. I took some putting practice before the show.
I did too.
I didn't do too poorly, actually. Putting's more of my thing than actually swinging a golf club.
I started taking BP instead of putting practice. I was about to hit the cage because I just know so much about golf. Like, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the reason you're here is because Derek Mason is off today. He's in the mountains going on a little hike. Derek Mason is.
Which mountains? Do we know?
All he told me was he was going to Chattanooga.
Okay.
So don't ask me which mountain range is near Chattanooga. I do love Chattanooga.
I'm going to ask him how Mount Everest was when he gets back.
I think that's a smart decision. But Derek Mason, a well-deserved day off. So Connor so kindly offered to step in. Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us in about 20 minutes. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider extraordinaire, will join us at 5 o'clock as we discuss the Predators GM search and the final week of the regular season. But first, let me pimp 5 Iron Golf. That's okay. Why we're here. Outdoor golf season is here. Is your game ready? 5 Iron Golf's spring tune-up is a data-driven 90-minute session designed to knock the rust off fast. You'll get a movement assessment using the Golf Forever training system to identify what's holding back your consistency and speed, a full swing analysis to pinpoint key patterns, and a complete full bag evaluation to make sure your clubs are right for your game. You walk away with a baseline benchmark, a prioritized improvement plan, and a clear practice focus. Starting at just $129, today we're giving one away for free. Walk in at 202 21st Avenue South and ask the team about it, or book yours at 5irongolf.com/spring-tune-up.
They also made the mistake of leaving a menu in front of me, so that will be ripped into later.
That also a smart decision. And we were here yesterday. I had some of the items on the menu. They were delicious. So, again, if you're looking for a great place to hang out on a beautiful day, may I suggest 5 Iron Golf. It's packed in here. A lot of people taking part in the indoor golf simulators. They're probably doing a lot better than I did yesterday. But I feel better about myself because I was able to actually sink some putts. All of that mini golf I played as a youngster has paid off here at the age of 37.
Just wait till I get out there. I'll make you look like Tiger.
All right. Well, we'll have to see during the break. Let us start, Connor Newt, with the local professional hockey team. The Nashville Predators concluded their road trip with a 4-1 loss to the Utah Mammoth. Last night, the Predators have fallen back out of a playoff spot as Willie Donick enters the scene. Willie Donick fresh off the plane from Salt Lake City, where the Predators unfortunately lost 4-1 to the Utah Mammoth last night. The Predators now 1 point back of the LA Kings for the final wild card playoff spot in the Western Conference. The Kings at 85 points with a game in hand. Hello, Willie.
Hello, gentlemen.
Thank you for showing up right away. Like, that's dedication. Willie has been on the road for a week and a half. He basically lived in Southern California for a week. He went from L.A. to San Jose, back to L.A., made a pit stop in Anaheim, then went to Salt Lake City, then came back. And the first thing he did was come here to 5 Iron Golf.
That's right.
To do the show. That is dedication.
Exhaustion's a state of mind. Don't let jet lag get to you. It's not a real thing.
We appreciate you coming in. So let's talk about last night's game before we get to the potential ramifications of the Predators' loss. I will say this, though, Willie. Had you told me when you left Nashville a week and a half ago that the Predators would go 3-1-1 on this Western 5-game road trip, I'm not including the one off to Tampa. You can throw that into the road trip if you want, but I'm focusing solely on the 5 games out west. If you had told me that they would have gone 3-1-1 when you left, my response would have been, I think they'll be not necessarily comfortably in the playoff spot, but I would feel pretty good about their chances. This just goes to show you how tight this race is. The Predators, 4 points in 4 out of 5 games, and yet they come home 1 point out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think it was a really good road trip from that standpoint. I would have taken 3-1-1 going into those 5 games, and I looked at it as its own road trip out west. The Tampa Bay game was the back half of a back-to-back. It was an up and back. There were a couple days in between to sort of recharge, and I do think the team played recharged out there in the west. Now, last night, I do think they were probably a little bit low on energy, and of course they had the unfortunate injury to Roman Josi, which was a big factor in the game last night. And they also were playing a team that is playing just tremendous hockey right now. Utah has got the fever right now. They got a new fan base. It's a raucous atmosphere. They've got a young team that can fly right now. That's a team that's going to be tough to beat. I will tell you right now, I'm not sure who they're going to match up with in the first round of the playoffs, but I like the Mammoth's chances in the first round. They're playing great.
So the Predators, Connor, have 3 games left, all at home, starting tomorrow against the Minnesota Wild. That is, if I am not mistaken, because I do not have the schedule in front of me at the moment, a 4 p.m. start. Okay, thank you.
It is a 4 p.m. game.
A 4 p.m. game tomorrow.
So get the engines going early for Saturday night in Smashville. Big game.
3 games left. At home against Minnesota tomorrow, at home against San Jose on Monday, and at home against Anaheim on Thursday. So 3 home games for the Predators. And Connor, I heard Robbie Stanley say this morning. He feels that the Predators need to win out to have a shot at making the playoffs. I haven't done the math. I'm not sure exactly how true that is. But I will say this, Connor. I do believe a regulation loss to the Wild tomorrow at home maybe doesn't fully put the final nail in the Predators' coffin, but there's a little nub sticking out. I really do think that tomorrow is as close to a must-win game for the Predators as there can be at this point of the season.
And I think it's because of the results from last night. You know, Utah looked like just a better team from the start of that puck drop. They looked fast, younger, and they are. They're younger than the Predators. But to Willie's credit, that's going to be a team that's dangerous in the playoffs. And I think last night's fate sealed, maybe not sealed, but I think it made this homestand all that much more important. I wouldn't go the exact route Robbie went and say you have to absolutely win out, but because I don't know how true that is. I don't have that in front of me. But I would just by purely thinking say you would probably have to come away with points in every single game to at least keep yourself in that conversation. And look, a big win tomorrow in regulation especially would be huge because it would allow you to get right back into that conversation. And, you know, we've been following this down the stretch. It's been Nashville and Los Angeles and San Jose pretty much neck and neck with each other this whole time. So you want to maximize your point opportunities. And I think that starts by beating a division rival. Minnesota is a good team, but you've beaten them before this season. So you're capable of doing that. You're going to have a home crowd in front of you for the last homestand in the regular season. It's Saturday night in Smashville. It's a little bit earlier, so maybe people will be more awake. It'll be fun. I think they're going to have to come away with a win tomorrow. I don't want to say must win, but I think you're right, Adam, in that if they don't win and they don't come away with points at all, you can all but can it as far as the playoff push is concerned.
As of this morning, per my friends at SportLogic, the Predators have a 20.9% chance of making the playoffs. The Kings at 67.4%. The Predators at 20.9%. The Winnipeg Jets at 10%. The San Jose Sharks at 5%. SportLogic also tells me that if the Predators lose in regulation tomorrow, their playoff odds decrease to 7.1%. And Willie, I am curious about the Minnesota Wild. The Minnesota Wild have clinched a playoff spot. The Minnesota Wild know who they are playing in the first round of the playoffs. They are playing the Dallas Stars in the first round of the playoffs. Home ice advantage is still technically up for grabs in that series. The Stars have a four-point lead with both teams having three games left. So although the Wild know they're going to be in and they know who their opponent is going to be, they still have reason to be motivated. Because as you've noted, Willie, sometimes at the end of a season when a team knows its fate, maybe they hold some guys out for rest to prepare for the postseason. But I think the Wild still have a lot to play for, despite the fact that, one, they're in the playoffs, and two, they know who they're playing.
Well, if you take a look at the Wild, last night they had a heavyweight matchup with the Stars. And I think that was probably their game to go after the home ice advantage. And they didn't get it. They lost 5-4 to the Stars. So I think tomorrow what would give you hope, because I think the issue for the Predators is going to be, can they do this without Roman Josi possibly? I don't know if Roman Josi was close to playing last night or not. He did take the warm-up, but I'm not sure he's going to magically be 100% tomorrow. You might be dealing with something there from here for the next however many days. I don't know. But the Wild, for them now to get home ice is a big, tall order. They really needed to win that game last night. So you might catch the Wild a little bit in that in-between. Are we still going for it? Are we now positioning ourselves just to be fresh and ready to go for the first round? And the other thing that gives you hope, the Wild are a really good team. Man, they are a loaded team that is built for the playoffs now. They've loaded up at the trade deadline. They actually traded for a Predator player.
Michael McCarron.
But the Predators know how to play the Wild. They've had three really tight games. All have gone to overtime. And so they've been right in it. I think they will go in confident that they can do well tomorrow, especially with the urgency at hand. And so I do think you have to have the mindset, win one game at a time, but you have no margin for error here. The Kings now have the inside track. The Kings have the schedule laid out right in front of them. It's there for the taking. But crazy stuff happens at this time of the year. All you can do is beat the teams in front of you.
Also, may I just say, it is absurd, NHL, that there are zero games in the league tonight. Not a single game
I was
tonight.
Stunned when I saw that. I was like, wait a minute, who's playing tonight? Nobody?
Nobody. There are zero games
in the NHL.
We're not
talking about
tonight.
No significant games. We're talking about no games.
Right. If you try to turn on a hockey game, you're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah.
Unless you turn on NHL Network and maybe they're playing a classic game or something. But there are zero NHL games tonight, which is just crazy. Joel on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joel reading my mind. He goes, oh, the irony. If a John Hines team with former Predators eliminates Nashville in the curtain call for Barry Trotz. That would be something.
You know, the intertwining of the Wild and the Predators has a very deep, long history that goes well back before John Hines. Let's think about Andrew Burnett's history with Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of the ex-Predators that have been on the Wild from the different eras, not just the John Hines era,
yeah.
But
Ryan Suter.
Yeah, Ryan Suter is the center of the whole thing. Maybe the root of everything.
In recent memory,
Craig Leopold, yeah. You know, the owner. Right. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
In recent memory, Michael McCarron, of course, Ryan Hartman,
Yakov Trenin.
Freddie Goudreau,
right? Yeah. Who's no longer on the Wild.
But no,
he was
but
for
they
a
were
time.
They were at a point. Yeah. Kevin Fiala, of course. Yeah, they're.
I mean, Dean Evason.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Paul Fenton, who
yes.
was the GM for a while.
You
these are all
going.
People that were with the Predators before they were with the Wild. You know, Darby Hendrickson was a long member of the Wild team, assistant coach for Andrew Burnett. So there's plenty of history. The only thing that's been missing between these two teams is a playoff matchup that somehow they've never met in the playoffs.
Josh on our text line says, so I was on Ticketmaster, and they're already selling tickets. $200 is the cheapest for playoff games. How does that work? If they don't make the playoffs, you get your money back, right? Yes, Josh.
Yes.
Ticketmaster will not take your money for playoff games that don't
happen.
That'd
be funny. You just go to an empty arena.
I mean, I wouldn't.
You bought the ticket.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wouldn't put it past Ticketmaster to make it difficult.
Yeah.
Make you jump through some hoops to get that money back. But yes, Josh, if you buy playoff tickets now, if they are indeed on sale, if the Predators don't make the playoffs, you will get your money back. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators. They lose 4-1 last night to the Utah Mammoth, 3-1-1 on this five-game road trip, which is a good road trip. And yet the Predators 1 point out of the playoffs with three games to go starting tomorrow at home against the Minnesota Wild. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll get into who knows what with Chad Withrow. He's game for everything. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. And speaking of 1025, we have teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption today at Pella, 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville from 4 to 6 p.m. So get on out there. It's almost about to start. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett, the AAA affiliate for the Atlanta Braves. First pitch is at 6:05. Catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Adam Vingan, Willie Donna, Connor Newt here with you from Five Iron Golf in Midtown. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Hi, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How about you?
We're doing well. So, Chad, let's start with the story that the NFL and sporting world cannot get enough of. Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini being photographed at a couples resort in Arizona, in a pool, hugging, holding hands, all of those things. This story has taken on a life of its own. I know that you and Hutton have had fun with it as well on your show. So look into your crystal ball, Chad. How do you think this ultimately plays out for Vrabel and Russini individually?
Well, first off, I don't know about you guys, but every platonic relationship I've ever been in, the woman will put her hands on my love handles like that was in the photo with Russini and Mike Vrabel. I'm getting an echo. Are you guys hearing that, or are you good?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I experienced this yesterday, Chad. There is a little delay on your end, I think. There is a little echo. We can hear you fine, though.
Okay. All right. I got you. Yeah, so what's going to happen with both of them? Unfortunately, this is part of the double standard in sports. You know, Mike Vrabel wins football games in the NFL, so he's going to be fine. I mean, personally and in his marriage, I don't know how that's going to go or how that explanation is going to go about that two-hour drive over to Sedona from a guy's golf trip to go hang out with Diana Russini. But from a football standpoint, he's going to be fine. Guys, Diana Russini, I mean, I think she's done as a credible reporter. I mean, we saw it with her first trial balloon she floated out with an actual NFL report and all the responses from everyone about it, and it was crushing her. And I know that social media isn't real life, and it's often nastier than real life, but if that's any indication, I just think she's going to have a hard time being a credible reporter from here on out. Maybe she'll be fine. Maybe she'll go, you know, host a podcast and have a lot of success, but I think her days as New York Times employed big-time football journalist are probably over with those photos.
Let me ask you, Chad, about the mass exodus of Lady Vols players from the program. And I read an interesting column from John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. And he had a friend who theorized that Danny White is keeping Kim Caldwell around because of the entertainment value. This friend said, quote, "He knows she's a train wreck and has already thought of ways he could benefit financially from the increased interest in the team. He can sell the rights to HBO for a behind-the-scenes look," end quote. Then Adams also suggested that the Lady Vols hold open tryouts, pick five players from that open tryout, and then sell them NIL, all of that stuff. So let me ask you this question. Do you think there's a way that Tennessee can sort of take advantage of this attention? Because, look, bad publicity is still publicity. I can't remember what the saying is. But this is the most attention this program has gotten in quite a long time. Is there a way that Tennessee can take advantage of this bad publicity?
There's no such thing as bad publicity, I think is the old adage, right?
Yes, that's the saying I was looking for, yes.
First off, every scenario you brought up is absolutely hilarious in every way. And as I feel I fashion myself as a master showman, I would love to see something like that. I'm sure that Danny White might be as well. But, guys, I don't buy any of that he's keeping her around for the sideshow or anything else. I think it's pride. You know, I think Danny White, this was one of his big hires recently, and she had a good first season and a train wreck of a second season. that's been an even worse train wreck in the offseason after year number two. So what does that mean for her future? I don't know. I think Danny White's having a hard time admitting a mistake. He doesn't want to. He did an interview with about a month left in the season where he went over the top and said, oh, I've got more confidence in Kim Caldwell today than I ever have in my life, ever being around her. And then everyone was rolling their eyes thinking, what? And this was in the midst of that whatever it was, 8-9-game losing streak to end the season. So it's sad because it's such a proud program. Now, on the flip side of this, I see a lot of Tennessee fans freaking out about the loss of this roster. Guys, this roster was not good. They were 16-15. They fell apart internally. They didn't always play hard. They had malcontents in the locker room. Now, is that a Kim Caldwell problem? Yeah, it's definitely a Kim Caldwell problem. Is she the biggest part of the problem with that team? Maybe. I don't know. But for those crying crocodile tears over all the players exiting Tennessee's roster, I'm thinking, good riddance. Go get 10 new players. And that's what they're about to do. I think that would be – I mean, the floor has been set pretty low for a program that never misses the NCAA tournament to nearly miss it this year. So I think there's a lot of – there could be a lot of positivity with the new players under Kim Caldwell. Do I have a lot of faith in her that long-term it's going to work? Absolutely not. But does a completely new, fresh roster this season help Tennessee for more success? Yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility.
Chad Withrow is with us, and Chad, we were trying to give our take on it. You'll have a better perspective than we will on this question. Why do you think that the Lady Vols program itself is down a notch? I mean, I'm not trying to compare it to Pat Summitt in the peak. That's hard to top. I mean, they're going to sink a little bit. But why do you think it's moved down a level from the top level in the last, say, 5 to 10 years?
You know, Willie, I just think it's coaching. I mean, I think when you try to get the lieutenant or the apprentice for the legend or the great coach, it oftentimes doesn't work out. And I mean, that's been the history of Tennessee Lady Vols basketball since Pat Summitt. They tried Holly Worley. It worked a little bit, but not enough. Then they go to Kelly Harper, who's another former Pat Summitt, and says, okay, that didn't work either. Now it's completely outside the box, young hire, made her way up through West Virginia high school and college hoops to Marshall to Tennessee, and through year two that's not working. And the sideshow of all this that you continue to get about the program is when Tony Vitello left, if you remember, there are a lot of Tennessee fans that blame Danny White for putting too much emphasis on women's basketball, that there was some dispute about the Lady Vols basketball team getting more money in NIL than the baseball team, or that they were taking away some of the baseball NIL. And Tony Vitello was not happy about what they could pay players because the women's basketball program was getting more. And then Holly Rowe puts out that tweet about, you know, shame on Danny White for letting this program spiral or whatever that was, and she deletes it. And I saw she did an interview, and she said, well, the reason I deleted it was because everybody responding, it became an issue over money allocation and how, you know, the whether or not they were getting enough money for players and everything else. So I do think, Willie, that there is a broader debate discussion to have about women's basketball, how much money it loses, even baseball, how much money it loses, how much money are you going to allocate to that versus a sport that makes money in football and the sport that oftentimes make money in men's basketball. That's really a question for every single athletic department and every university across the country. And I think we're at a real crossroads right now of Lady Vols basketball. I think they should invest in that program. I think they can get great players. The history is there. The standard set by Pat Summitt is there. It's just how much are you going to take away from other sports to fund a great women's basketball program? And I don't know the answer to that.
You know, I think that's a great point. I would imagine a similar discussion is being had in every major conference that wants to have a well-rounded athletic program, because I think it's a fair point on both sides. I mean, football is the bell cow. But you want to make you have to invest in your other programs if you want to win. So on that note, Chad, how do you evaluate Danny White after, I'm trying to remember how many years now, what, 6 or 8 years he's been there now? What, how do you think he's done?
Well, I think Josh Heupel's floating him right now. I think that was a good hire. It's worked out well. I think the guy's a good fundraiser. He's a good accountant of the program, and he's got good ideas about other ways to drive revenue. He's not a personable guy. You know, that there's kind of a weird personality there where he doesn't even really talk to coaches or deal with them. It's a strange setup in that athletic department. And look, strange can be good. If you're getting great results, then no one's going to complain about it. But I think when you don't have a great relationship with Tony Vitello and he bolts, granted it's for a major league job, he may have bolted if the AD was his best friend. You know, I don't know that that's Danny White's fault that he got that opportunity left, but I don't think Danny White being there helped Tony Vitello at all with his leaving. And if other things start to fall apart, then it's going to go downhill quickly for Danny White. So if I'm asked to give an evaluation right now, I'd say B-, C-plus, because I think he inherited a great baseball coach and they won a national title. He hired a great football coach. So far, he is 0-for-1 in women's basketball hiring a coach. Let's go ahead and say it. So far, he's 0-for-1 in hiring a baseball coach because the team can't make it out inning 7 and beyond. That doesn't look good. So, yeah, it's a B-, C-plus right now, but that grade could go down a letter grade quickly.
Chad Withrow is with us. Chad, we've kind of asked you about the mass exodus of the Lady Vols team, but I want to flip it around and ask you about the men's team. Maybe not as much of a mass exodus as the Lady Vols are suffering, but there is some departure there, and one of them that was announced yesterday was J.P. Estrella flipping over to the defending national champions in Michigan. I've seen a lot of discourse across the interwebs on that move, a lot of Tennessee fans saying he wasn't as valuable as his portal value is making him out to be. I'm curious of your thoughts. What do you think of J.P. Estrella moving on from Tennessee and over to Michigan?
I think it's easy to rationalize the exit and say, well, he just averaged 10 points a game and 6 rebounds, and he was hurt often, and he was hurt the year before, and he got hurt in this season. And then he goes to Michigan, and it's a real stab in the heart because Michigan's not bringing in bad players. I think we saw that this past year, especially when it comes to big guys. So, yeah, that hurts with J.P. Estrella and Tennessee losing by 30 to Michigan in the Elite Eight and going there. Here's what I think about Rick Barnes and the program and that last year's team. I think deep down he didn't love that team. And I know that sounds crazy for a team that made it to the Elite Eight, that went on a run in the NCAA tournament. But, guys, they couldn't hit a shot when they needed to. And that happened time and time again. They were not a good free throw shooting team. They turned the ball over way too much. So when Bishop Boswell or Jalen Carey or even J.P. Estrella comes to Rick Barnes and says, I need a raise because this is what my agent tells me my value is on the open market, I do think Rick Barnes said, enjoy the open market. Because if I'm going to overspend or spend a lot of money, I'm going to spend it on a guy who can hit a free throw. I'm going to spend it on a guy who can shoot threes. And their first addition is just that. Tyler Lundblade from Belmont, 87% free throw shooter, shot nearly 50% from three a year ago, 40% this past year, over 40%. Great shooter. I think they're going to add more shooting in the portal. They still need a rim protector. They definitely need a big guy. They got to go get a point guard also. But I think Rick Barnes just made a calculated decision to say, you know, I can build culture in an offseason. I don't need a ton of guys sticking around for that culture to stay here. I'm the culture. I'm going to set it. And I'm going to go spend big money in the portal on some guys that can come in here and score the basketball. And I think that's exactly what Tennessee's about to do.
Chad, let me flip things over to the gridiron here for just a second. Obviously, we're a little bit of a ways away from college football, but there is some stories coming out of Tennessee. One most notably being a portal guy they just brought in from Penn State and Chaz Coleman on the defensive end. He has not been going to practice, and I've seen rumors as to why. He's a little homesick, I think I've read, but I want your overall opinion on that situation. Is that a missed swing in the portal for Tennessee if he doesn't pan out the way they expect him to?
Yes, a huge one, and I hope Tennessee gets all their money back, if so. I don't know what the contract looks like, but guys, I mean, this is professional sports, and I'm not trying to be flippant about mental health or any of that. If the kid's having a mental health breakdown and he needs to go home, go home, but give your check back over to Tennessee because you did not fulfill the check, so you're not going to make that money. That's how it works in pro sports. That's how it works in every walk of life. I hope the kid gets the help he needs. If he needs to go back home, he can.
that's fine. But Tennessee needs to get that money so they can use that on another transfer at another time, because this is the way college sports works right now. You know, I'm being told it's not a Boo Carter situation. He's not a problem in the locker room. He's not divisive. He's not pulling players against the coaches or anything like that the way Boo Carter was. But he's just a no-show at this point. And if that's the case, yeah, I mean, it's a big swing and a miss, and it's one that you really couldn't factor if you were Tennessee. So I don't really blame Josh Heupel for it or anything, but it's certainly disappointing. But again, if he's homesick, go home and give the money back. That would be my one addendum to that. And that's for any program or any player. You don't get to keep the money or any of it if you show up for 2 weeks of spring practice and you can't show up to work.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donicky joins us every Friday. Chad, as always, wonderful stuff. We'll catch up next week.
If you paid Willie Donick with his shooting ability, the money that these kids make, I guarantee you he'd be showing up to practice. That's all that I'll say. I'll leave you with that. He'd be there every day ready to go to work. Right, Willie?
Well, I did show up every day. I don't know if I played well every day, but I did show up, and I wasn't getting any extra NIL at that point. I mean, I don't want to make – I don't know anything about this situation. If the kid needs help, then I think there are ways you can get help, right, while staying on campus and going through the proper – but if you just say you're homesick, that's I mean, I had the high school girlfriend. I was a little homesick, you know, when I first got to campus. You know, you got to adjust.
Yeah, look, if the kid's having some sort of issue, yeah, get him help. Help him all you can. Maybe he can come back in fall camp and be ready to play. If he just wants to go home and is throwing a fit and not showing up to practice because he wants to go home, go home. Give the check back. That's all I'm saying. Go home.
Exactly.
That's going to help you, but you don't get paid also on top of it. Guys, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Chad. 615-737-1025. Did you do the turkey dump with your high school girlfriend? You go the way to, you know, you stay with the girlfriend.
I got dumped.
Oh, okay. So you were the turkey
dumpee. It probably was for the best. It was probably for the best.
You were the turkey dumpee, because what happens is you go away to college. You don't come back for the first time until Thanksgiving. And that's when you dump the high school boyfriend or girlfriend. So you were the turkey dumpee.
That was the dumpee.
Oh.
Do you speak from
experience? I was the turkey. But, you know, as they say, as my college, one of my assistant coaches said, hey, Willie, you're all right, man. Don't bring sand to the beach. Plenty of sand already here.
Life lessons from Willie Donick. 615-737-1025. Let's get back into the Predators. They lost 4-1 last night to Utah to wrap up a successful road trip, although they are not in a playoff spot right now, but they did get 4 points. They got four, you know, points in 4 out of 5 games, excuse me. But I do want to talk about something that does get Willie Donick's blood boiling. We will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 teed up with us at the 5th annual 615 Open, May 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are once again supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. Register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Connor Newt here with you at 5 Iron Golf, 202 21st Avenue South in Nashville. We've got some giveaways here. We've got 2 free hours of golf and a Trackman Golf Simulator, a $180 value. We've got a couple of gift cards as well. So if you're in the area or if you're already here at 5 Iron Golf, find us near the back. We've got raffle tickets. You can win 2 free hours of golf and a Trackman Golf Simulator, a $180 value. It can be yours for absolutely nothing.
Let me tell you, Adam, this is my first time in here.
Yes.
You guys got to experience this yesterday, but, man, they're getting after it in here. They got the holes marked up. This is a really unique setup here. Beautiful weather. The windows are open. You're right there looking out on 21st Ave. This is the spot.
It is.
This is what we were referencing, my days as a, you know, a freshman at Vanderbilt, being the turkey dumpee. I used to walk across the campus, you know, from the Branscombe, which is now torn down, just like my sophomore and junior year residence as well, the Carmichael Towers. They're no more. But I used to walk across the campus over to this area to go to a place called The Great Escape, which had some really cool comic books and stuff like that. This is a good hangout area. Of course, you got the Satco right up there. You got this brand new establishment right here. This is awesome.
Yes, it's a great place. Cool vibe. Even if you're not a golf enthusiast. There are plenty of things for you to do here.
Well, this is the beauty of if you're not a golf enthusiast, you just hack away. What's the worst that can happen?
Oh, it's going to happen.
You knock somebody's Bud Light over or something.
I do not know the first thing about a sport called golf. So
Derek,
during one of these breaks, I'm just going to go up there and act like I'm taking BP or something.
Yeah, just grab it like a baseball bat. See what happens.
Derek had mixed results yesterday as he was trying to hit it closest to the tee. He got really, really close once, but then he missed wildly other times. So give it a shot. I was too embarrassed to even think about it, but I did take some putting practice here before the show and didn't do half bad.
Okay.
So.
You can join my team of unathletic people. That's no offense to
is
you.
Is Chase on the team?
Oh, he's the captain.
He's the captain of the team. Okay.
He doesn't know it yet, but he is.
Sounds like a good team.
Chase is putting the team together. So let's get back to the Predators. They lose 4-1 last night in Utah to wrap up their final road trip of the regular season. Three wins, a regulation loss last night, and an overtime loss on the trip. A successful trip in that aspect. And yet, the Predators woke up this morning outside the playoffs, 1 point back of L.A. L.A. has one game in hand. The Predators have three games left, all at home, starting tomorrow afternoon against the Minnesota Wild, a 4 p.m. Central puck drop, 3 p.m. Central pregame, right here on 102.5 The Game. And Willie, we talked about this earlier this week. You knew it was coming. We talked about the decision yesterday for the Predators to go back to UC Soros against Utah after Justus Onanen's historic performance two nights earlier in Anaheim. And I think you made and Derek made solid cases. I provided a counter argument of sorts. I thought, hey, you got to ride the hot hand. But we all know here that UC Soros is the number one goaltender for the Nashville Predators. That's just how it's going to be for now. But I told you that if Soros lost in the game yesterday, which he does wear the L as the starting goaltender, you knew that the anti-Soros contingent of the fan base would come out of the woodwork. There were some doozies on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. I believe one YouTube commenter referred to UC Soros as the Andre Dillard of starting goaltenders in the NHL. Another caller.
And you think that was funny or accurate in any way? You really think there's a comparison between the two?
No, it was an extreme exaggeration.
Yeah, I would say so.
One caller said that if the Predators start UC Soros tomorrow, it signifies that they're giving up on the season.
Okay.
Those were the two I remember off the top of my head. But again, we talked about perception
right. Earlier
this week, and this, I think, proves my point that you and I can provide all of the context about UC Soros' season, the context within the game, all of those things. And yet, most people will look at the fact that Justus Onanen, again, had an incredible performance on Tuesday. They go back to Soros. Soros has to wear the four goals. It's on the record. Four goals against.
Right.
He wears that, and therefore, people are emboldened in their opinion.
All right, well, let's provide context for last night's game.
Sure.
All right, let's just say that last night the Predators have the best goalie of all time. You tell me, whoever you choose, put a name on that. The best goalie of all time is playing for the Predators last night. Okay?
Okay.
Pick a name. Patrick Waugh, Mari Brodeur.
I'll tell you the name I'll tell you the name that randomly came to mind.
Okay,
although I don't think he is the best goaltender in league history, but Henrik Lundqvist came to mind.
Henrik Lundqvist. All right. The King. We got the King. He's playing goal.
He's a handsome man. You know, maybe that's why it came to mind. I don't know.
You're playing a team that had scored 3.8 goals per game since the trade deadline. And they had scored at least six in the four games leading up. So they're playing at the top of their game offensively. They're playing at home. For the Predators on defense, you're already playing without Nick Hague, and you learn right before the game that your captain and best overall player, Roman Josi, can't play. He's also a defenseman. Okay? So you're down to your top 4D. You're playing a team that's scoring in bushels. How many goals do you think you're going to give up, realistically, even with the best goalie in the sport playing? What's realistic?
At least three.
Did I tell you yesterday that they weren't going to win the game 1-0, whoever was playing goalie, right? I think we discussed how difficult that game was going to be last night.
Yeah, I mean, the way they were playing and the way they're shooting the puck and just how young and quick they are, you knew it was going to be tough.
So I think you hit the number, Adam. If you could hold them to three, I would be thrilled with that. The pathway to winning last night's game for the Predators was to hang in there defensively, and you got to score. And the Predators, unfortunately, they missed out on some opportunities to score that they have been converting on. Like, there's a power play early in the game. Steven Stamkos has got his patented one-timer. It's there. And he didn't catch it clean the way he's been doing. And for whatever reason, you know, Kirill Vemelka, I thought, played a good game. He made some big saves. The crowd got behind him. But if you look at the goals and evaluate the four goals that Utah scored, tell me the analytics behind that. You looked at the numbers. What does it tell you?
This may shock some of our listeners because UC Saros allowed four goals, but he actually earned a quality start last night, which in other words means he actually saved more goals than expected, despite the fact that he allowed four goals.
Right. So that's the context that I'm providing. Now, am I telling you that UC Saros was superhuman last night? No. But I think he played a solid game, and he gave them a chance. You needed to match them, a prolific offensive team. Now, tomorrow might be a different game. Tomorrow might be a little different. Of course, you're playing a team that's got a lot of weapons in Minnesota, but you're back at home. Minnesota might be in a different place than Utah. I don't know. We'll see. And I don't know who they're going to play in goal. Onanen's played a couple of good games against Minnesota this season as well, as has Saros. But, you know, I just think I'm just wondering, did you watch the game? If you're just sitting there saying he gave up four goals, so he must not have played well. I just think it's a lot more detailed and nuanced than that.
I do want to get
Let's take the four goals.
Okay.
2-on-1, east-west, cross-ice pass, tap in, or, you know, like a goal scored from the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're talking 3 feet away. That's the first goal. Second goal, power play, saucer pass, cross-ice feed, backdoor layup. That's two. Third period, Clayton Keller off the bench, full speed, one of the best skilled players they have. Fake shot, cross-ice pass, east-west, boom, one-timer, goal. And then the fourth goal, very similar. Cross-ice, east-west, boom, one-timer. 2-on-1 on the rush. Dylan Gunther, 39th goal of the year. If you can tell me that on any of those four goals that UC Saros say should have had it, then let's talk about it. I'd like call in and ask it. Let's break it down. I'd love to hear about it. I just don't know that you can put those goals on him. Could he have maybe made a spectacular save to keep one of those out? Maybe, but he made several other good saves. Those weren't the only four chances in the game that Utah had. I thought he played a good game. Would Onanen have played better? We'll never know the answer to that.
615-737-1025. You heard the man. Let's hear your thoughts on UC Saros, Justus Onanen, and the Predators' goaltending position. I know a lot of you have a lot of thoughts. I already see it on the text line. 615-737-1025. Also get Connor's thoughts on this as well. Coming up next, we are live out at 5 Iron Golf, 202 21st Avenue South, here in Midtown. Come out and join us. It's a beautiful day. Adam Vingan, Willie Dunn, Connor Newt, 102.5 The Game.